You can't innovate if you don't care. That is so important. Let me say that again. You can't innovate if you don't care. And that's why indifference is the enemy of innovation.
You've landed inside Launch Street, the Business Innovation Podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate, differentiate, and get further faster. Since you're here, we know you're the type of person that recognizes the importance of unlocking your innovation advantage so you can compete and win. And now, your host, the person that has worked with leading companies like Disney, Procter & Gamble, Arrow Electronics, the U.S. Army Research Labs, and Red Robin on upping their innovation advantage, Tamara Gondor.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another awesome episode of Inside Launch Street. I am your host, Tamara Gondor. I'm also the creator of the Innovation Quotient Edge Assessment, the only tool that helps you discover your unique style and strength of innovation. If you haven't already, go to our website and take the assessment and discover your innovation advantage. Also the founder of the Everyday Innovators Tribe. Hey, if you are new to the tribe because you joined in December, actually last week, December 1st and 2nd, to you, I want to say welcome and congratulations. I'm so honored that you're here and impressed that you took a step to invest in yourself, in your success, and thinking differently in 2021. Now, if you're over here going, Tamara, I have no idea what you're talking about. What is this Everyday Innovators Tribe you speak of? Well, that is the place. It's a membership platform to elevate your innovation game and get the support and the tools you need to be a confident leader and strong innovator. Now, if you're over there thinking, Tamara, I missed my chance. Oh, I set my alarm and it didn't go off. That's me sometimes in the morning, by the way. Don't worry. The next opportunity to join will be January 1st and 2nd. We only open the doors at the beginning of every month for new members because we want most of our time to be focused on the members that we have, not in selling to new ones. So if you're interested, just make sure that you are on my email list in some way. You've downloaded the 8 strategies. You've signed up for a webinar. You have added yourself to the newsletter list. We remind you there, even if we don't do it public. So make sure you're on there. Okay, let's dig into today's topic, which is how indifference is the enemy of innovation. You know, we often talk about perfection being the enemy of innovation, consensus being the enemy of innovation, analysis paralysis being the enemy of innovation. All of those are true, but there's another space and another big enemy of innovation, indifference, that I want to talk about today. And I want you to think of this from the leader perspective. And whether that means you are actively managing a team, right? You have direct reports, or you've got dotted lines, or you've got your colleagues and you're kind of stepping up to be the leader, or maybe you're an emerging leader and you're trying to kind of lead up. I really want you to think of this conversation from the team perspective. And I bring this up now because I'm seeing a lot of indifference in the marketplace, a lot of indifference in the world. And this gets dialed up when there's this unfortunate mix of maybe work environment not being great, the world not being great, the stressors just bearing down on you, being overstimulated because of constant media and just things out there you're paying attention to. You get the point. Indifference really does get dialed up in times like these when people are overwhelmed and stressed out and burned out, because that's our default, is to get to a place of indifference where we don't care. So like I said, I want you to think of this conversation from that leader perspective, regardless of what your title really is, because I think this will help you lead strong and lead differently and get people out of indifference. All right. So here's the thing. Now, I said this to somebody the other day. I was having this conversation. They had said to them, well, I would just hate if my team was disengaged. And I said, you know what, though? Here's the thing. I would rather my team be energized or excited or even mad or even angry, even upset about stuff. I would rather be either of those things than indifferent. Why? Because they have to care enough to feel any of those emotions. That means they are engaged in some way to have those type of emotions. If they are indifferent, they're just taking up space and not contributing. You can't innovate if you don't care. That is so important. Let me say that again. You can't innovate if you don't care. And that's why indifference is the enemy of innovation. Think of your team, again, whether that's the people you lead or dotted lines or your colleagues, but think of them on a spectrum. And you could even put yourself here too. And on one end of the spectrum is actively disengaged, right? Checked out, not paying attention, actively pursuing opportunities elsewhere. Your energy is going elsewhere. Maybe even you're a little bit angry, a little bit mad, right? That's actively disengaged. But again, as I said, I'd rather have them there than indifferent. On the other side of the spectrum is actively engaged, right? You're in it. You're proactive. You're bringing your A game, or at least you're trying to every chance you get. We know what those people look like. There are A players typically. But in that spectrum, there's this massive space in the middle. And that middle is indifference. And when people are in the indifferent place, they are showing up, they are checking off the boxes. But I tell you what, they are not bringing their best. They're not innovating. They're not bringing you what they could be. You're missing out on unbelievable potential in them. And truly, what ends up happening is they end up taking up space. So they're doing it. They're there. Maybe you can't even put your finger on what's wrong, but you can tell they're not engaged. Maybe they're not arguing in meetings when you know they have a different opinion. They're just kind of caving immediately. They're not pursuing challenges. They're not, when they see a frustration, they're not going to Greg, who, you know, isn't in charge of that project, and saying, hey, I see this frustration over here, this thing that's not working, but I wanted to help. Like, all of those things aren't helping. I had this conductor on my podcast. Oh my gosh, it must have been a year ago now. Unfortunately, I can't remember his name, but I'll look it up for the show notes for my production team. They can put the link in the show notes. And he was talking about, he does these, or did these pre-2020, these orchestras with teams. So he'd bring the team together with an orchestra, and then the people on the team would be positioned with one of the people in the orchestra. And at first he'd have the orchestra play at 60%, 70%. And the music would be fine. It would be good enough. And the people on the team, the corporate people kind of engaged in this corporate activity, this brainstorming activity, would go, yeah, it was fine. The music was good. Like, they couldn't even see what was wrong with it. Then he would have the orchestra, who they were all sitting with, play at 100%, like, give it their all. And then the people from the actual companies could see the difference between active engagement, when you're giving it your all, and that place of indifference, where you're just doing what you need to do, where you're just taking up space. Sometimes I think with indifference, we don't even realize it's happening because it's good enough most of the time, isn't it? Think about yourself. I'm guilty of this too. There are times where I've gone through the motions, but if you looked at the output that I created, it was fine. It was fine. But if you look at that same thing that I created on a day where I'm feeling actively engaged, oh my gosh, the difference is so big. You could absolutely tell. So indifference, that middle space where the orchestra is just playing at 70%, where you're getting just good enough, where people don't even care enough to be mad, angry, push back, happy, engaged, excited, like, none of those emotions show up in indifferent. That's the space that we want to get people out of, because that's going to kill any effort you have to innovate, adapt, and pivot. I read this really interesting research stat in preparation for this podcast, and it said, get this, this is going to blow your mind. Only 21% of employees feel like they're being managed in a way that motivates them to do outstanding work. No, only 21% of employees feel like they're being managed in a way that motivates them to do outstanding work. Right? We don't need to be mathematicians here to figure this one out. That means 79% do not. They are not being managed to bring outstanding work. That means 79% are indifferent, or feel like they are being managed in a way that actually drives them into indifference. You know, we spend so much time trying to manage the people around us who are disengaged. And what I want to do is give you three, actually, I've got a bonus for you at the end. So let's call it three plus a bonus. I want to give you three ways to actually move people from indifferent to engaged. Okay, here are three quick tips for turning indifference into engagement in your team. Number one, acknowledge impact. Now, most of the time, what we do when we're trying to engage people and acknowledge them is we acknowledge their contributions. And that matters too. But that's baseline. So acknowledging contributions is like, hey, Kelly, thank you so much for finishing that project on time. I really appreciate the effort you put in. Extremely important. But here's what I found. If you really want to move people out of indifference, you don't just acknowledge their contributions, you acknowledge their impact. Kelly, finishing that project on time meant that Greg and Susie actually had the opportunity to do what they needed to do really well and ahead of time. Everybody came in before the deadline because of what you did. Do you see the difference there? When I acknowledge impact, I'm acknowledging not just the contribution and what you did, which is important, but I'm also showing you how what you do fits into the bigger vision, into the bigger puzzle. That little piece of you doing your work on time and doing it well actually had a massive trickle-down effect and impacted everybody else. Acknowledge impact. All right, number two, tap the reward center of your people. Here's the cool part. Being innovative is a whole brain experience. So I interviewed a bunch of neuroscientists, and one of the things that I was really excited to find is that innovation isn't relegated, this kind of ability to innovate as humans, isn't relegated to one portion of our brain. That's what actually we used to believe, that it was one little area of our brain, and some of us had it more developed than others. Turns out that's not true. What is true is that innovation is a whole brain experience. Your whole brain lights up, and it taps the reward center of your brain. And it releases dopamine. That's why creative problem solving, kind of having those aha moments, figuring something out, that's why it feels so good, because it actually, it's a whole brain experience. The MRI show your whole brain lights up and it taps a reward center. So give your people the room, the tools, the ability to innovate, and they'll go from indifferent to engaged. And just to link that back to the first one, by the way, when we innovate and when we think differently, it's then actually very easy to see and to acknowledge the impact that that has. So let's say I solve a problem in a new, a different way in my world, the one that I'm in. And then Allison, actually, her job gets easier because of what I did. So it's a trickle out effect. Innovation is this incredible thing that taps reward centers for the person doing it. And the impact is like 100-fold on the people around you. Okay. So number one was acknowledge impact. Number two is tap the rewards. Number three is be the coach, not the manager. Okay, so here's what I mean by this, right? Be the coach, not the manager. Because normally we say be the leader, right? Be the visionary, lead from behind, be a servant leader. Yeah, yeah, that's all true. But I want you to think about being a coach in this way. Now it's football season, so I'm going to use yet another football analogy. You all know I love my Raiders. Silver and black, even though we didn't play well last week. Here's what I want you to think about. If you watch a coach, all the coaches on the sidelines, right, in a football game, they're not on the field with their players. Here's why this matters. What the coach does, when you're a coach, you're supporting and helping and training and giving your team what they need to succeed. And when the buzzer goes off, your team's actually out there on the field by themselves. Here's why that matters, because I know what some of you are thinking. Tamara, are you telling me to just like throw them into the deep end and let them swim? Kinda. Your job as a coach is to set them up for success and then let them do their job on the field. Let them be on the field. There's nothing more disempowering than having someone lead you, train you, give you the tools, and then not trust you to do it when the time comes. Be a coach, not a manager. All right, that kind of segues really nicely into the bonus one I wanted to give you, and then I'll sum it all up. And this is very simple, but very hard for a lot of us to do, me included, guilty as charged. Don't solve their problems for them. Part of what I've seen with indifference is it happens when people start to feel like they have no room to think, because all they do is go to you and you solve their problems for them. I was just having this conversation with my sister actually about the team that she leads, and she's got one person on her team that can never figure anything out and is always emailing my sister to say, hey, how did you do this? How did you do that? Where do you find this information? Where do you find that? Well, for once, my sister finally said, you know what? Give it 5 minutes. Go look three places. And if you still can't find it, come back to me. Sure enough, the woman came back to her on her team, super excited. Not only did she find it, but she found something else. And she was super proud of herself for actually finding the information on her own. I think oftentimes as leaders of teams of all levels, we want to be the go-to person. We want to solve problems. But when we do that for people, we actually turn them into people who are indifferent. We actually take them out of the engaged side of the spectrum and make them indifferent because they don't need to think. So why should they? They don't need to worry about how to solve problems. You're going to do it for them. And the irony in that is, I think as leaders, we then look at them and go, why are you being so lazy? Like, why can't you figure it out on your own? Well, it's because we've trained them not to figure it out on their own. If we want them to go from indifferent to engaged or stay engaged, we have to stop solving their problems for them. All right, let me sum it up. Ready? Number one, acknowledge impact, not just contributions. Number two, tap their reward centers. Number three, be a coach, not a manager. And number four, don't solve their problems for them. All right. Just to kind of close it out, remember, nothing else, indifference is the enemy of innovation. And it is very easy to get into a space of indifference ourselves and the people that we lead when we are stressed out, when we don't feel the impact that we make and the work that we do to everybody else around us on our team, when we are not feeling the energy and the excitement of being innovative, when we're not giving the room to do that, all that kind of comes together to create indifference. And while those other side of the spectrums matter, the disengaged and the engaged, there's a big space in the middle of indifference, and it shows up in a lot of different ways for a lot of different people. You want to get people out of indifference and into engaged. That way you can innovate, collaborate, adapt, pivot, all the catchwords that mattered to us in 2020, going into 2021 as well. All right. Difference is the enemy of innovation. And with that, Tamara out.
Thanks for hanging with us on Inside Launch Street. If you know someone that is truly ready to unlock their innovation advantage, have them join you on Launch Street. Discover your innovation advantage. Build a team of high-performing innovators and ignite ideas and solutions that create massive impact. GOTO, LaunchStreet.com. Remember, innovators, if you don't take the leap, somebody else will.